This evening we turn to God's Word as we have it in Hebrews chapter 10. In our communion season, we've been thinking about Jesus, our priest, began thinking of some words in Hebrews 7 about Jesus, our continuing priest, the one who has that permanent priesthood, the one who saves to the uttermost all who come to God through him, and the one who always lives to make intercession for those people. We are blessed to have such a priest. And earlier today, we considered from Hebrews 9, Jesus as our self-sacrificing priest. He is the one who appears in heaven for us even now, the one who will appear on earth for us in the future, but the one who did appear on earth in the past to put away sin and to be our sin bearer. Jesus came to give himself for us, and he only needed to do it once. Once was enough. And now in our Thanksgiving service this evening, we're going to be thinking of the words in Hebrews 10 from verse 11 through to verse 14. And here we see the Lord Jesus as our perfecting priest. These words are restating some of the things that we've already seen, and they are also adding a few other angles to the way in which Christ is portrayed as our priest. And I want to consider from these verses three things that we're told that Jesus, our priest, either has done or is doing. And we begin with something that he has done. And the first thing I want you to note is how we're told that he sat down, verse 12. Something Jesus has done is that he has sat down. Often in Hebrews, the work of the Lord Jesus is compared to the work of the high priests of the Old Covenant, those who served in the tabernacle or in the temple. But here in verse 11, it's not the high priest that Jesus is being compared to, but rather it is the ordinary priests. It's not the high priest who once a year went into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, but what the writer is thinking of in particular, I think, is the daily sacrifices that the priests would have made at the tabernacle or at the temple. And those sacrifices were made morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening, day after day after day. It just went on. Every day, the morning sacrifice, every day, the evening sacrifice, the next day, the same thing, the next day, the same thing. Regarding the priests who were appointed by God for the making of those sacrifices, we're told in verse 11, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. The old covenant priests, they stood in their place and they offered repeatedly the same sacrifices. They stood to do their work. There were no seats in the place where the priests ministered. They stood always standing to perform their sacrificial ritual. Their work was never done, and therefore they could never sit down. When one sacrifice was completed, there was another one to come. Coming along soon, there would be another sacrifice. And none of those sacrifices that they made ever really, in and of themselves, took away sin. All those sacrifices, the morning and evening sacrifice each day, they all pointed towards something that was to happen in the future. They were pointing forward to a greater sacrifice, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was that Lamb of God. And so when we're told about the work of Christ as our priest, in verse 12, what we're told about him differs from what was the experience of the earthly priests. It says, "But this man," that's the Lord Jesus, "after he had offered one sacrifice," just the one sacrifice for sins forever, "sat down at the right hand of God." It's so different with the Lord Jesus compared to all those other priests that came before him. With Jesus, it is not many of the same sacrifices again and again and again. Jesus has a better sacrifice to offer, the sacrifice of himself. And Jesus has only to offer that sacrifice once. It was one sacrifice for sins forever. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. After he had done that, we're told that he sat down. Christ did what no earthly priest would ever have done or could ever have done. He sat down. He sat down because his sacrificial work was finished. There was no more sacrifice to be made. It was a single sacrifice, something that would never have to be repeated. It was a sacrifice that was accepted for all time, and so Christ sat down. And he doesn't sit down in some earthly tent. He sits down in heaven itself. And not just in heaven itself, but he sits down in the place of greatest honor and greatest authority in heaven. Jesus didn't just sit down. He sat down at the right hand of God. And so Jesus is being exalted before us, raised up and shown to us for what a great priest he is. What greater priest could anyone possibly have than one who by one sacrifice deals with all sin forever? And one who now has all the power and all the authority that are there for God's right-hand man. The Lord Jesus is the one who sat down, the only priest who could sit down because his work was done. Christ sat down. Then the second thing in these verses that we're told that I want to note about the actions of the Lord Jesus is that he is waiting. He has sat down, but now he is waiting. As well as having sat down and presently being seated at God's right hand, we're told that he is waiting, verse 13. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. And those words are built upon what we sang from Psalm 110, verse 1. It's a psalm that's often referred to in the book of Hebrews. It says there, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool." And those words remind us clearly that there will be those who will be enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ forever. There are those who will not be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, but they will forever be against him. Those who do not believe in Christ, the Savior that God has provided at such a great price. Those who do not look to the Lord Jesus Christ as their high priest, they will find that they will have to answer for their own sins, that Christ didn't take their sins upon himself. If Jesus is not the priest, and if Jesus is not the Savior that we look to, if we don't look to him in life, well then, he will not be our Savior in eternity. There are those who are and always will be the enemies of Jesus Christ. And for now, those who are the enemies of Christ, who are alive here in this world, they feel as if they are free to do whatever they choose. And they don't want Jesus Christ to be Lord of their lives. They want to do their own thing. They don't want him to be instructing them as to what they can do and what they can't do. But the day will come, we're told, when they will be Christ's footstool. And they will have no sense whatsoever of being free to do whatever they want to do. And so how much better it is for us to humble ourselves, to confess our sins, and to serve Christ, how much better that is than to reject him and to be those who are his enemies forever. Those who are not saved by Christ are the enemies of Christ. They may not speak against him. They may not be those who campaign against him, but those who are not saved by Christ are his enemies. Jesus Christ needs to know that we are for him. And we need to know that we are for him. Because if we're not for him, then we're among those enemies who will be made his footstool. Jesus is waiting. This is still a day of opportunity. It's a day of opportunity for those who don't believe in Christ to come and to believe in him. And while Christ is waiting, it's not the case that he is inactive. The Lord continues to be busy. He continues to send his Holy Spirit to convict people of sin and to give people the faith to believe and to repent. Jesus continues to seek and to save those who are lost. He continues to be the good shepherd who looks out for and looks after his sheep. Jesus continues to be the one that we can turn to in our temptations. Hebrews 2:18, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Jesus continues to be the one that we can turn to in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He is the one that we are to look to. And as Christ continues to hear our prayers and our cries, he continues to be the one who also makes intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25. And he is not just waiting in heaven, he is appearing in the presence of God for us. Hebrews 9:24. Jesus is waiting. He is waiting for the well-being of his people, and he is waiting for that time when his enemies will be exposed as his enemies, and they will clearly be under his feet. So, in terms of what Jesus has done and is doing, he has sat down and he is waiting. And then the third thing I want you to note from Hebrews 10:11 to 14 is that we're taught in verse 14 that he has perfected. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That is a great verse of Scripture to reflect upon. It's a great verse of Scripture to help us understand what our position as Christians is here and now in life. There are two ways that this verse teaches us to think about ourselves and ways in which we are to see ourselves. We're taught in this verse that we are being sanctified, that if we're Christians, then we are people who are being sanctified. That means to be made holy. Christians are sinners. We are saved sinners. We have an ongoing daily need to confess our sins and to repent of our sins. And that will be the case for all of us as long as this present life continues. We will always be sinners in this present life. But it is also the case that we are those who are being sanctified. We are being made holy. We are being changed from what we were into what we will be. There is a work going on. There is a work in progress. We are being sanctified. And often that work will appear to be slow. The progress may seem to be very slow, if we can detect progress at all. And yet, that progress is real. Those whom Christ has saved are presently being sanctified. The Spirit of God that Christ sends to dwell within us, he is at work. And where the Spirit of God is at work, things do not just remain as they have always been. Think of yourself as being like a house. The Spirit of God is moving through the different rooms of the house. And the changes that he makes are not spectacular often. In one room, there'll be a picture, and it's not straight, and he'll straighten it up. And there is a difference. It's not a big difference, but it's a difference. In another room, he gets rid of some clutter that's sitting around serving no good purpose. And that's a bit of progress. In another room, he opens the curtains a wee bit and lets a bit more light in. And that's a good thing. And that's a wee bit of progress. And in another place, he moves something from where it is, where it is a bit of a hazard, to another place. And instead of being a thing that could cause problems, it becomes a useful thing instead. And the Spirit of God moves through the rooms, and he changes things little by little, here and there. God's Spirit is at work, and he is the one who sanctifies his people. The Spirit of God is at work, creating the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. All those good things. The Spirit of God is at work, creating those good things within his saved people. The Holy Spirit is making his people holy, and he will keep on at his work. He will always be doing that work as long as we're here in this life. He will keep pressing on. He will always have more to do. It'll never be the case that he finds there's nothing for him to do. His aim is to make us more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ and less like what we were in ourselves. We're taught here to believe that Christians are those who are being sanctified. But we're also taught in verse 14 to see ourselves as those who have been perfected forever. So on the one hand, we're taught we are being sanctified, but on the other hand, we're taught we have been perfected forever. And we need to believe in the truth of this statement. This speaks to us of the completed work of Christ. Christ has done a work of perfecting his saved people. By one offering, he has perfected forever his people. In verse 12, it speaks about one sacrifice forever. And here in verse 14, it is one offering forever. The offering was himself. And when he gave himself, that was everything. He gave his whole self. And the result was that the people for whom he offered himself have been perfected forever. Through that great substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we, his people, receive forgiveness for all of our sins that lie in the past, for all of our present sins, and for all of the sins that we haven't even committed as yet. Christ deals with all of them. And we are credited with the perfect, flawless righteousness of Jesus himself. And we become unto God those who are holy. That's spoken of in verse 10 here in Hebrews 10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Through the work of Christ, we are those who are made holy. We are perfected. In theology, this is described as positional sanctification. The other bit, where we are being sanctified, that's progressive sanctification. It's something that goes on a little bit at a time. It's a moving forward, doesn't all happen at once, but it's spread throughout a lifetime. But the scriptures speak of another sanctification. It is positional sanctification. Our position is that we are holy. It is how God defines us. It's definitive sanctification. God defines us as being those who are holy. We have been perfected forever. God declares us in justification to be just, to be righteous, but God also declares us to be holy. And he declares that with us, he is well pleased. He declares that we are those who are accepted in the Beloved. Christ is the Beloved, and in Christ we are accepted because we have been perfected forever. What a wonderful work of Jesus Christ, our priest, that is. He has caused us to be perfected, and perfected not for a day, but perfected forever. And that is our standing in Christ. That is our position. That is how we are defined by God. We are the holy ones. And that standing is never going to change. Now, what does change for us is how we feel about ourselves. Sometimes we will see ourselves as being pretty poor and feeble Christians. We will feel as if we are substandard. We will feel as if we are really not much use at all in the kingdom of God. We who are told that we are the light of the world, we will feel that we are pretty dim lights. And maybe there'll be other times when we'll be encouraged and we will have joy in our heart that God seems to have used us in some way. But it's not how we feel about ourselves that is the important issue. What we need to do is to keep reminding ourselves of what is true of us and what God has declared to be the case. And God says that Christ, by one offering, has perfected forever his people. It's not the job that we do that's the important thing. It's the job that Jesus Christ has done for us. And what Jesus did was so good. It was so thorough. It was so acceptable that it only needed to be done once. What he did perfectly. He did it for us, and so we have been perfected. And the Lord's verdict upon you, if you're one of his people, if you're a Christian, then his verdict upon you has never been based on how well you think you're doing in your Christian life. It's never been based on your level of performance. He didn't save you because of anything he saw in you, and he doesn't keep on saving you because of anything he sees in you. Always he looks upon you on the basis of what Christ has done for you. And what he has done for you is perfect. It is perfect. It was done once. It was done perfectly. And that's all that is needed. And if you are in Christ, you have been perfected forever. And so let us be thankful for that great high priest that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who else could ever cause sinners like us to be perfected forever? Let us remember the Lord Jesus. He is our perfecting priest. Amen.